Well, I looked at my watch, and my watch said it's about 1:45. So, I don't know, it's either really early in the morning, so I was thinking the clock, the church clock, I was looking at it, I was like, it's only 10:45, but it's actually, yeah. Anyway, so my watch is not on time. But anyway, this morning, my message is, as I was studying this week, I was reading different scriptures, and this one scripture just really spoke to me. And it's not something that I don't like to take issues that of things that are going on in the church or whatever it may be, and try to, I haven't so far, just try to find verses that fit that and let's read it. But the other day I've been studying, and Friday I sat down for a little while and I opened my Bible up, and my Bible opened up to Romans 16, and it's the end of Romans. And so I read a little bit there, and I paged back one page, and I started on chapter 14. And so the title of my message this morning is Unity. And Paul is speaking to the Romans. And so I say that to not to apologize for what I'm going to preach, but I feel like this is something that God laid on my heart. And so you're going to hear it. So I'm going to start in Romans 14. I won't look too much at the clock. I'm going to start Romans 14, and I'm going to read all of it all the way down to Romans 15, verse 6. But I'm going to break it up into different passages or different sections, kind of, and I'm going to go off to a few other scriptures along the way. But I want to start here, Romans 14. It says, "Accept him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything. Another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does. For God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand. For the Lord is able to make him stand. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat." And I'm going to stop right there. And as I read this, these verses, you know, so often we see people from different areas of their life than what we are. And we look at them and it's like, oh, they're weak, you know, they can't handle it. And they look at us and see us doing something, and they judge us because, you know what, that they shouldn't be doing that. And that's what was going on here. But God, but it says in verse 4, it says, "Who are you to judge someone else's servant?" We are all God's servants. So it says, "Who are you to judge someone else's servants? To his own master he stands or falls." So we are responsible to God. And this, yeah, to whether we stand or fall, is we're responsible to him. And it says, "And he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand." And I'm going to read, jump back one chapter or two chapters here to Romans 12, verse 3 through 5. It says, For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each one of us has one body with many members, And these members do not have all the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We're all one body. You know, we're in different stages, and I know in another chapter it goes through the whole body, and, you know, one part is more honorable than the other part. But, you know, we're all in different stages of life. And, you know, things that affect one person may not affect the next person. And I'm going to have Jeremy play a couple videos, and I'm kind of focusing on unity and what it means to be part of a body. And when we get, you know, when we get separated from the body, we come into danger. So I'm going to have him play a couple of those. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Traveling groups.
This next one doesn't have any sound, but you can see the guy has got his foot trapped in the gap between the train and the sidewalk. You see people start to gather around, start to push on it. And more people keep gathering around. There's big people, there's little people, there's men, there's women. All pushing together to get a common goal. You can't hardly see it, but the train moves. The train begins to move a little bit once they all push on there. And there they have him free. But as I was looking at these, as I was studying, and I looked up trying to find a few things, and these things came to mind, or came up, and it, you know, one person could not have moved that train. One ant or one crab or one penguin would have been in trouble against those other things. But because they all work together. And the first one was kind of humorous, and yet, because they all worked together, they were able to defeat whatever was against them. And you know, it says here, verse 7 says, "For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone." And then it says, "If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord." And as I thought about that, you know, no one lives to himself alone. If we're out and about and people see us walking around, they see Rick walking through Due West. They automatically, if it's people that know Rick, they say, "Well, there's Rick. That's Gene's brother, and that's Martha's son, and he works for Jerry, and so." It affects Jerry, and it's like, you know what? He goes to Shiloh. And so not only are we alone in what we do, and we do so to the Lord, but it also affects each one of us in the church. And it was mentioned yesterday morning, I was afraid Elvin's going to steal all my thunder yesterday morning. as we talked about unity a little bit, and Clayton mentioned it, you know, he said his dad always told him, remember who you represent. And it's so true. You know, we think, you know, I can do what I want to do because I'm my own person, but we're never our own person. We always represent some kind of family, some kind of people. I'm going to go on. Move on to verse 11. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then each of us will give account of himself to God. We're not going to give account to those around us. We're going to give account of ourselves, it says. Verse 13 says, therefore let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacles in your brother's way. As one who is in the Lord Jesus, I am fully convinced that no food is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for him it is unclean. If your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not by your eating destroy your brother for whom Christ died. Do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. And I want to jump back to Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. It says, as a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There it is again. Make every effort to do what leads to peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And verse 2 here it says, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. And you see so often when you're reading scriptures about unity, about being together, there's a few words that keep coming up. Love is one of them. Humility is another one. And, you know, it's kind of hard to be together as a group when you've got pride, you know, and it's, I'm better than him. And so everybody feels like, you know, well, that guy thinks he's better than us. And so it kind of distances himself from me. There's no unity there. Romans 12, verses 9, 10, and 16. It says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. That's so hard to do as humans, to honor somebody else above yourself. But yet it says to. And then in verse 16, it says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. And I just have a little object lesson here. And maybe if I could have maybe Zach and Troy. Do you think y'all could come help me for a minute? I want to move these things out of here. Now, I want y'all to put these, I want you to each put one of these blocks in that cup with one finger. You have to keep your finger straight, and I want you to put that in there and see who can do it first. Keep your finger straight. Can you do it? Hey, keep your finger straight. Now, how about this? How about if you would work together and push yours over there against that, and he would push against it the other way? Can you do that? Thank you. And that's a simple illustration, but yet it's so true that when we're trying to get our things done, when we're trying to get done what we want to get done, and trying to beat somebody else to do it, oftentimes we can't get it done. But yet, when we work together, you know, nobody really won that because, you know, if they're trying to get theirs in first, they kind of went in together. And we, you know, that's what we are, what we are as Christians, as a church. We're a team. 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 9, it talks about when there was divisions in the church, they were, one of them was following Apollos and the other one was Paul. And it says, "What after all is Apollos and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building." You know, we're all in this together. There's not, you know, someone that's more important than someone else to the Christian life. And we need to make, you know, we need to make every effort we can to live peaceably, it says. We'll start reading at verse 20. It says, "Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a man to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother to fall. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is a man who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But the man who has doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and everything that does not come from faith is sin." And, you know, in 1 Corinthians 8, you know, Paul says, see if I can just single out the one verse. It says, "Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause him to fall." So we are responsible for those that are around us. And while we're not, you know, we're not maybe going to have to answer because of someone else, because of the way we act and the things that we do, someone else may fall and may suffer because of what, you know, if they're not able to withstand, like Paul was saying, with the eating the meat. And I'm going to move on to Romans 15, 5 through 6, 1 through 6. It says, "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Each one of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up." And that verse is so key in what we're to do. It says, we're not to do it, we're to build each other up, not to please ourselves. You know, and so often it's about me. It's all about me. You know, I want to get this done so I can do this. But it's not about me. It's not about Elvin. It's not about Gordon. It's about God. It's about the church. It says, "For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope." And the next two verses are the ones that really hit me as I first read this chapter. It says, "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And that's our goal as Christians, as a church, to be able to come together, you know, and God, it says, "May God who gives you the endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus." Why? "So that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, that's what we're here for. That's why we come to church, to glorify God. You know, we have a goal in mind of getting to heaven. And, you know, Paul says he runs towards the mark. He pushes on towards the mark, you know, to get to heaven. And that's what we're here for. We're here to glorify God and, you know, and make it to heaven and take as many with us as we can get. You know, if we're out there on our own, you know, we might take one or two, but together, you know, as we've seen, you can get a lot more done with a team than what you can by yourself. I just have one more scripture to read. Actually, well, let me read Philippians 2, 1 through 4. It says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And there it is again, you know, we've got having the same love, being in the same spirit, you know, out of humility. Consider others better than yourselves. It's not something that comes easily with our human nature. But yet, it's something that God is calling for. And I'm going to read the verse that Elvin read yesterday morning. It says, how good, Psalms 133:1 says, how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. You know, it's good. It makes things go so much smoother when people are together in unity. And then I'm going to read Colossians 3:12-14. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. You are supposed to put on these things. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. All these things that we need as a church. We need to put these on. But yet, it says, on over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together. So we can have all these things, and then you put on love yet, and it puts everything together, kind of like a, I kind of pictured in my mind as having a coat on, and you wrap a cord around it, or a rope around it, and tie it, or like a robe, and you tie it together. And love holds everything together. You know, so many times it, you know, something happens, it's like, oh. But yet, because you love somebody, you're willing to forgive them. And you're willing to overlook these things, you know, like it says in Romans here, you know, the weaknesses and that people have, you know, we're able to overlook these things. And, you know, as I thought about, you know, the church and how it is, you know, we're all, you know, striving towards the same thing. You know, we're reaching towards that mark, you know, pressing on to reach heaven, to glorify God. But yet we're all in different areas of life. And so I just like to encourage everybody to, you know, to take a look around you and show love to those around you. Be an encouragement. You know, be humble when you approach somebody, when you talk to somebody. Because those things go kind of hand in hand with unity, you know, being able to humbly come to somebody and, you know, humble yourself. It's not easy to do, but yet it's very important in what we do and how we do it. This is all I have. We'll close in prayer. Y'all can stand if you want. Dear God, I thank you for these words that you have for us today. Dear God, I thank you that you have spoken through your word. Dear God, I thank you for the words that you put down in your word that we have, that we can look into and to know what you have for us. Dear God, I pray that we would be able to be together in unity. Dear God, have one mind and one heart to go towards you. Dear God, I pray that we would be able to grow closer together, grow closer to you as we push towards the mark. Dear God, I pray that you be with us this week as we go from here. Pray a blessing on each one of us as we go through these doors. I just ask that you would just give us a good week. In your name I pray. Amen.